Boulder City Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the host of the podcast, and today we're doing another in our series of podcasts with candidates for the City Council of Boulder City. We're doing this in cooperation with the Boulder City Social, and in light of the lack of public forums because of the pandemic, we hope these podcasts will be helpful to Boulder City voters to decide who to vote for in the upcoming April 6th election and maybe even a subsequent runoff. Today we're sitting down with Sherry Jorgensen. Sherry, welcome.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much for doing this. I truly appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to sit down with you. We met briefly a few weeks ago in the new coffee shop, which was nice. It's really exciting to see so many people committed to Boulder City that they want to be part of the government. I think it's an exciting option, and I think it shows how people really care about the city.
I totally agree with that.
So let's start off with a little bit of your background and why you think it qualifies you to serve on the City Council.
Okay, just a little bit about myself. We moved here 22 years ago. I've had the chance to raise my four kids here. Been involved all along the way in their lives. Everything from PAC president for 2 years to serving on the learning improvement team to being voted in at the high school level for the SOT team, which mm-hmm. was great to serve on. So for me, besides the countless hours of volunteering, with the kids, it's been an opportunity to raise my family, and I love it here. The other thing is that teaching is actually my profession.
Okay.
I decided to stay home right before my third daughter. My third daughter, Aubrey, was born with Down syndrome and autism, mm-hmm. at which point I knew I needed to become a voice for her. Okay. I needed to help her. And so with that in mind, I started educating myself. That's what you do as a teacher.
Sure.
You do your homework. Mm-hmm. I took a class called Partners in Policymaking, and I became familiar okay. with the laws and the things that would govern individuals that had disabilities. And I started becoming active in that part of life. So I served on a state committee that rewrote regulations for birth through three for intervention services. I served on the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada's board, okay. and I served as their treasurer. And then all along the way, I've served at a state, local, school level to be able to help individuals that have mm-hmm. disabilities, including my daughter, Aubrey.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the things that I want to do for the city, actually, is be an advocate for mm-hmm. them, right? Be a voice for the people who won't be able to sit up there as council members. That's what you do as a council person. You represent the community.
Sure.
And you need to be able to listen to them and then see what their needs are and communicate what those needs are.
Okay.
And now I'm in a place, my four kids are raised, mm-hmm. I have four grandchildren, and I have time to focus on the community.
Okay,
that's the
great.
Place I'm in now. I serve Meals on Wheels, have for a couple years. I serve on the allotment committee, have for the last 3 years mm-hmm. with the city. I'm the chairperson.
Okay.
So I guess my reason and why I think I would be good at it is I'm service-minded.
Okay. So we were talking before we started here that all of our children went through high school together, and I remember Aubrey, being in the choir, and you mentioned she was the manager for a couple of sports teams, and is that the kind of embrace that you like about Boulder City, that they try to treat every kid equally?
I'm going to tell you it's the absolute best thing that happened to our family. I was a little nervous moving here, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know anyone. I took a chance.
Sure.
I grew up in Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided to raise our family here. I'm going to tell you something that really touched my heart. When Aubrey, all her growing up, all she wanted to do was watch princess movies.
Right.
And she dreamed of being a princess. Well, in high school, her peers voted her to be homecoming princess
yeah.
1 year.
Mm-hmm.
When she put that crown on, she told me, "Mom, look, I'm a princess."
Yeah.
And I thought, in Boulder City, where people care about each other and they teach their kids to care about each other, where they vote for someone maybe who has that dream because they care about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's priceless. I can't
Great.
Even describe it.
Great. Well, that was our experience too with our kids going through school. So it's one of the great things about Boulder City, and I'm sure that contributed to why you want to run for our council.
Absolutely.
Great. We had a complete turnover of city council in the last election. New mayor, all new council people, and a lot of that was generated because the previous administration was talking about a vast expansion of Boulder City, maybe a subdivision, you know, out by the Cascada Golf Course, where the city owns some land, maybe truck stops down by the new I-11, and that I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and they kind of went back. We didn't have a slow growth ordinance, and let's abide by that. Where do you stand on that?
Well, actually, I told you that I've served on the allotment committee for the last 3 years, so I've really become versed in the slow growth ordinance that we have. I totally agree with it, actually. And honestly, I think the reason we live in Boulder City is because we like the small town feel, right? Sure. And I grew up in Henderson, like I told you. I see what happens when the sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. And that is not what we need here in Boulder City at all.
Right. Now, being on the allotment committee, you know, there's that allows for some growth. So are you in favor of some growth, but you're not the explosive growth you saw in Henderson?
Exactly. I'm in favor of the growth that we as citizens have voted on and mm-hmm. consider to be, you know, okay with us.
Sure.
I mean, if you even look at sell a parcel of land for the city to sell it, you have to have a vote on that if it's over an acre. So we have a lot of say in how we grow as citizens in this community. And I think that we've kind of voiced our opinion here. And I actually think it's working for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about the city's fiscal strategy. And frankly, I'm pretty confused about what it is. You know, sometimes it looks like they want to raise taxes and increase the services, but in other times it's not that way. So do you understand what they're doing, and how would you kind of, you know, craft a fiscal strategy for the city?
Right. For me, in my personal life, I'm a fiscally responsible individual, and I feel like that's how the city should be, too.
Right.
If we're spending the money of the citizens, we need to use it in the best ways possible. So I know that we are fiscally stable right now as a community. Part of that has to do with the solar leases. Honestly, they've been recession-proofed up to this point, and they've also COVID-proof up to this point, which has provided us to stay on top of it. We have reserves in our emergency funds, we have the things that we need to stay fiscally responsible at this point, so there's absolutely no reason to raise taxes. Plus, I don't think it's a great time to do that.
Sure, absolutely.
Or I don't know if we need it.
Right, exactly. So another bone of contention in the city is the businesses the city's in, and certainly that probably started with the first golf course and then continue with the second Boulder Creek. I don't know for sure, but I seem to remember that we're losing money every year on the golf courses. Are you pleased with the way they're running right now, or would you like to see any changes there?
Right. So I was asked this question before, and I decided again to do a little homework. I went and talked to Andy Shaper down at the golf course. Mm-hmm. He's currently running the two golf courses.
Right.
And I asked around, people who actually use the facilities. They love the way he's running it.
Right.
And he sat down and showed me his fiscal plan for the last 5 years, what's happened, how much it's earned in the last 5 years, minus COVID, of course.
Sure.
It's starting to get closer and closer to breaking even. I think given the opportunity and the lifting of COVID, that we'll see it breaking even. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things can't run the way they need to right now, right? You don't have the restaurant services the way it needs to be. He's unable to do the tournaments that he used to be able to do. Those tournaments bring in people for our businesses.
Right.
They bring in families. They bring in kids. He was up to 18 tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are huge for our community.
So he's just not doing them because of COVID right now.
Right. There's restrictions on that.
Right. Okay. So another business that they've recently been dabbling in is the airport. We saw them take over the fuel farm last year. Rather than allow the private contractor to continue to operate it, and it hasn't gone well. I believe we're totally losing money on that now, rather than being an actual asset to the city. And then of course we get down to the hangar issue. But let's talk about the fuel farm first. I mean, would you think we could revisit that and maybe think again about that?
I actually think we should revisit it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, before, when it was leased out, we were getting a flowage fee off of it, and we were getting the leasing fee off of it, and we were making money. Right now, we're getting neither of those, and we're losing money.
Right.
Plus, we have a liability on our hands, and I don't know how much we want to get into the city having liabilities that we don't really need to carry.
Sure.
So I honestly think we should put it back out for bid and see if we can't get someone to lease it again.
Okay. And at the same point, we were talking about the hangars. The first round of hangars leases expired this year, and the city took the hangars back. Now they have to maintain them. They have to rent them out, and it's again another business that they're in where from what I understand, the hangar owner said we would renew it. We'd give you as much money as you would make, if you ran them yourself, and the city turned them down. So is that something also we should look into again as well?
Well, again, how much liability do you want to have as a city that lays directly upon you, right?
Right.
If you renew the leases, the liability goes back to them for owning it, for taking care of it. When you don't renew the leases, then that comes back to the city. So we have to hire people to be able to do that. So in my opinion, I think we need to revisit that a little bit. I think it would behoove us to maybe go and check out other airports, similar size, similar situations, see how we can make it a win-win for everyone involved. If we could make the same amount of money and not own those, but lease those, I don't see how that wouldn't be a good option.
Right, okay. Yeah, the city was demanding that the owners upgrade the facilities, to a higher standard. And I think the owners were willing to do that. But now, is the city going to do that now that they own it? I mean, that's the question.
Right. It's a little confusing because I know that in the past when I've heard about it, there was an airport advisory committee that actually wanted to present that information and wasn't given the opportunity to present it in the way that they wanted to.
Okay. So, I believe the small businesses in Boulder City are the heart and soul of the city, not just because I run a small business in Boulder City right now.
Right.
But certainly the small businesses that attract the tourists, the restaurants, the antique shops, those kind of things. Where do you think the city encourages small businesses enough?
I would hope the city encourages businesses. Honestly, like you said, they're the backbone of this community. Our community loves our businesses. Most of the business owners in our community actually live in our community. I think that we could find ways to better support our businesses. I've had a chance to meet with different business owners in the community. One suggestion that was made to me, which I kind of really like, is possibly meeting monthly or bi-monthly as a city council with some of the business leaders, maybe change it up each time to be able to hear concerns or needs so that we're on the same page and working together. Another concern that I've heard is that the process for getting a business license is a little difficult right now, and that it might be expedited if we could get it online somehow, like they have it in Henderson or in Las Vegas, so that all moving parts understand where you're at. If the fire chief needs to come in and sign off on something, he could go online and say, oh, look at this. Okay, it's at my point and I can get it done, making it a simpler process and a less painful process.
Okay, great. So a lot of the small businesses are in business because of tourism in this town, and obviously there are citywide events are a big asset to them. The Art in the Park, the Spring Jamboree, things of that nature, the beer festival that just started a few years ago. Do you think we should encourage more of those citywide festivals and actually maybe even publicize the ones that are already existing more?
I love the events, to be honest with you. And we have to look at the twofold purpose that they serve. They serve the purpose of bringing people in to see our community, to see our businesses, and hopefully we'll get repeat people coming back later, right? I hear that every time I go into town and they know I'm from Boulder City. They're like, oh, I come out to Art in the Park. And I said, it's great, isn't it? But not only that, a lot of these support other things in our community. You have the Wurtz Fest, and the monies earned from that, from Rotary, go into a drug court program for Judge Miller. Or we have the senior night that our kids have been enjoying to keep them safe. So it's a win-win for our community when we have those kind of things, when it goes back to supporting the hospital.
Sure, right.
You know?
So the citywide events not only bring people here, but they create funds for these other things.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great. So, as I mentioned, the city council is completely a new city council. Do you agree with the way it's been running so far? There seems to be a little bit, opposition between some of the members. How do you think it's running, and how would you change that?
Well, that's a great question. One of the reasons that I've decided to run, and I don't know if you knew this, but when the last seat was available, I actually put my name in to be appointed for it and interviewed with all of them. But in the end, Judith was picked, and so that wasn't available for me. So with this time coming back up, I believe there needs to be a diversity of thoughts and actions. And I don't know that that's happening right now. I think most members currently are very like-minded in how they want to write policies or enact things in the community, leaving out a whole portion of the community. All citizens need to be heard. There needs to be a place for all citizens to be heard.
Okay. How about the policies laid down by Mayor McManus? Are you in favor of what he's been doing so far, or you know, would you like to see more involvement from the entire community in deciding, you know, where the city's going?
Well, obviously, I'd like to see more involvement from the entire community. When we represent someone, that's exactly what we do. We represent the city as a whole. You don't represent a specific group of people, or else it skews how you choose to run the city. So for me, you can't pass something into policy unless three votes. You have to have three votes in the city. So the only way the mayor can pass policies is if other people vote with him. So if you have a bunch of like-minded individuals serving, those policies are going to pass. I think there needs to be diversity. There needs to be an openness of thought and a little bit more homework done on a couple of these things.
You know, one of the advantages of living in Boulder City in the past has been the utility costs. You know, being the town that built the dam, we got a cut on our electric rates, and that's kind of gone away recently, and the electric rates have been going up. We understand the infrastructure of a lot of the utility, not just the electric, but the water also needs to be improved. How do you think we should handle that going forward?
It's funny you should say that. This summer, my husband was in quite a bit of pain every time he opened up the bill on a monthly basis. Right. He's like, I can't believe it, right? So utilities is something that affects all of us as citizens. And so it's a concern for all of us, I think, when we look at it. Our utility fund currently is funded to be able to provide the services needed and to hopefully take care of some of the failing infrastructure that we currently have. Of course, we do not want our utilities to go down. You don't want to wake up in the middle of the summer and find out the inside of your house is 100 degrees.
Right.
That's not safe, nor is that going to be very fun.
Right.
But with that being said, there needs to be a lot of transparency in that so that we have the ability to see where the money is going and make sure that's what it's going for. They recently did do a study, and I know that it's coming up at a city council meeting that they're proposing giving 3% cut or 3% back or however you want to look at it in utilities and a $10 a month in water. So clearly, that's going to be a benefit.
Yeah. So the messages are getting out there that you know, we need to do something like this.
I think so. And I think we need to be concerned a little bit about those who might be struggling to pay their utilities or struggling to keep up with the cost, to see what we can do to help out there.
Okay, great. So another one of the aspects of Boulder City everybody loves is the historic nature of our town. You know, a lot of the buildings have been around since the 30s, and, you know, we have a historic commission that is supposed to, you know, oversee that, but you know, a couple of times it's whatever they're supposed to do, either there was a gap, and you know, for example, when the old hospital was kind of torn down overnight, even though it was a historic structure, do we think we need to give them more teeth, or there just needs to be more transparency with what's going on with historic buildings?
Well, I think they need a little bit more teeth, and the way to get that is to have a dedicated plan, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime that you lose a building or something like that, you do lose a piece of history, a page out of history. You can't bring that page back. I mean, we have pictures of it. We have things like that, but that's not going to physically be back. Now, with that being said, we need to consider there's quite a few little buildings around town that we could restore and fix up. And do we want, as a city, to be in the business now of owning historical homes? I for sure want to keep our history alive. I love that aspect. We have beautiful reminders of it all over our city. And but I think there needs to be a specific plan. Without a specific plan, you kind of flounder, and I don't believe preservation is deterioration at all.
Right, exactly. One of the things that we've been looking at for the past couple of years has been the water filtration plant. You know, it's a historic building for sure. It was one of the first plants to do that. But you know, you walk inside and you know you look at it and it's beautiful, and you know the architecture is great, but really only have to see it once. You know, is that going to draw a lot of people back? So there's been talk about maybe selling it or leasing it to a private business to run either as a gallery or a restaurant or a brewery. I think perfectly think it's a brewery because you already got room for those big barrels, you know.
Right.
As long as you maintain the historic nature of the building, maybe that's the way to go. Where would you see that landing at this point?
You know, I actually see that as an option. If you travel in places where they have historical value and they've upgraded their historical buildings, a lot of times they repurpose them so that it gets people in there to actually visit it. If you maintain the integrity of the site and the story that's supposed to be told, you'll get more people in there to understand that story if you do repurpose it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And plus, it revitalizes it.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I think part of the example is what happened with the Browder building. You know, I mean, that was always a commercial building. I'm not saying the city ever owned it, but they've really done a great job in repurposing that building into both the new restaurant and the coffee shop. I think they've done a great job.
Yeah, it looks great in there, and there are great places to go visit and to sit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no question. How do you think the city has handled the pandemic? The governor certainly put out restrictions, everybody has followed them, I think, for the most part. But, you know, there's been some rural towns in Nevada that said, you know, we know better than you do about how we can handle this in our town, you know. Do you think Boulder City should have, you know, maybe altered a little, rather than being in lockstep with the governor? We're way smaller than Las Vegas or Henderson. You know, maybe we could have done it different. Do you think there's anything we could have done different there?
I think this is a really hard question based on when COVID hit us, none of us exactly knew what any of us were doing, right? And I'm not sure at a state level that they 100% understand what they're doing and how they're affecting small businesses or that how they're affecting people's lives. The overarching goal is to save lives.
Right.
So with that in mind, I think some of the restrictions or some of the guidelines that they put in place, unbeknownst to them, have hurt small businesses.
Right.
And it's a concern to me. I've seen some of the places have to shut down for a little bit and or shut down permanently.
Yeah.
And so it's a concern. I worry that it actually, you know, is damaging that portion of our town.
Sure, no question about that. So one of the big questions that came up in front of the last council was the pool. You know, we all agree it needs to be either completely repaired or hopefully replaced. But of course, the bill they come up with in the first round of the $40 million was a little bit outrageous for a little town like us. How do you think we should approach that?
Well, if you think about it, it's going to cost more than probably the million, right, that we're allowed to take out or whatever. So I think the way to approach it now, since the citizens have spoken in the last election, that's not the direction they want to go. They definitely don't want to raise their taxes to do it. We either need to find a way for outside sources, grants, some sort of way to fund it so that we can have a pool. I mean, it is deteriorating. We do need to address it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't fix it, you lose it.
Right.
So,
would you favor rebuilding it in that location, or maybe moving it somewhere else, maybe down to the Veterans Park or something like that?
I think both would be an option for me, actually.
Sure.
I'd like to see what the benefits for both of them would be. If it, you know, costs less leaving it on the site that it's at, well, maybe that's a caveat, right?
Sure. Right.
But if it's a better location, more centrally located, or has benefits in the other direction, I'd have to look at that too.
Yeah, okay, great. It's something we should do a deeper study into anyway.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, last question, how do you think you can contribute to a better future for Boulder City and its residents?
Well, I actually think that I could be an advocate. Like I said, I've had practice at the state, local, and school level doing that. I want to be able to hear the voices. If there's one thing that I've heard from a number of people, it's that they have called or they've emailed and they don't get responses back.
Right.
And I don't think that that's okay. I think that I could be the person that would be able to listen, call them back, respond. It doesn't mean that we're going to constantly have things go your way.
Right, sure.
But it also means that we can disagree and not be disagreeable. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important in community, well, you know, that you live in.
Be kind, be bolder, right?
Yeah, be kind, be bolder, exactly. So I think that I can do that. I'm going to live here. I'm going to stay here. I want my kids to bring their grandkids back. I don't know if they want to, but right. I want them to. So I want them to have the same opportunities my kids had here. I want to keep Boulder what Boulder is.
Well, Sherry, thanks for joining us. It's great to hear your views and get to know you a little personally. I think if when people get to meet you around town, I think you might be able to sway them to vote for you. So,
well, thank you.
So congratulations for joining the race and good luck in it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Boulder City Podcast and our interviews with the council candidates. We hope it helps voters in Boulder City decide on their vote in April. Early voting will open March 25th and continue until April 2nd. Then voting will be open all day on April 6th. All registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. You can follow the directions on the ballot to vote via mail, or you can ignore it and show up to vote in person at the polls. If you're not registered to vote, you have until March 9th to do so either in person at City Hall or by mail. For more information, visit the Boulder City Government website at bcnv.org. A special thanks to Gene Widener and Tina Kluver of Boulder City Social for helping us arrange these interviews. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.